Some of you have been away and you're back and welcome. This morning, it always gives me a special joy to welcome Pastor Mark and his wife, Linda. And they've been coming here for the past 18 years, 19 years now, faithfully, year after year, just to help us along, guide us, and make sure that we stay true to the Word. And I don't know why they keep coming back, but we are so thankful, all right? Because every weekend, he's a senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Melbourne, Florida, in Florida. And every weekend, they minister to well over 8,000, 9,000 people. And yet, they find the time to come here, and for that, I will always be grateful. This morning, he's going to bring us God's Word from Ephesians chapter 3. The topic will be God's unlimited abilities.
Is that better? Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Better. I'm going to be speaking to you. I'm just the human guy. But sometimes we forget this. Because every week, am I good? Not so good. God's unlimited ability. Here we go. Better? Still falls down. You want to put it on my nose or what? All right. Hopefully you can hear me. Because we do this pretty much on a routine basis, all of us, on a weekend. You know, I teach three times on a weekend, Saturday, twice on Sunday. You can forget. I can forget. Do you know who's going to speak to you this morning? God's going to speak to you. God is going to speak to us this morning. The one true God. And there's three words. When you leave this room this morning, I want you to think about. Here are the three words. God is able. Say it with me. God is able. Anything in your life, we'll talk about that more at the end. Any area of your life, let's say it again. God
is able.
Who's able?
God is.
Me? No. God is able. Now, the passage that you're in, it's all about the word, basically, unlimited. Unlimited. Because that's the nature of God. When the word unlimited comes to you, here's why we always come and visit John and Evelyn. Lots of reasons. But unlimited food all over the place. These guys take us everywhere. So does all the group here. It's just wonderful. I'm just joking with you. But when you think of the word unlimited, what comes to your mind? For many of you, unlimited buffets. Could I hear an amen right there? You'll take it. How about drinks that are unlimited? We call it what? Free flow or whatever like that? Just unlimited, boom, 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 boom. Okay. That word unlimited means this. Not limited, not restricted. Now, in the beginning of the book of Ephesians, where when I get back, I'll be finishing chapter 6. Paul begins in this amazing book. He had been at Ephesus many times. Spent the last time there 3 years. He's in prison. He's writing to the Ephesians. A Christian church in a very pagan city. And when he does this, He begins the chapter by talking about the blessings from God. That's what we call the whole series, the blessings from God. And as he begins to do this, he loved to talk about those blessings. He loved to talk about God's unlimited love. We sang that this morning. He loved to talk about God's unlimited grace. And when he goes through that, he finishes the teaching basically in chapter 3. Chapters 1 through 3 are about basically doctrine, and then 4 through 6 are on how we worship God, how we put it into practice. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 3:20, if you will, and you will see kind of the doxology, the finishing praise to God in these two verses. Now, verse 20 says this. Now to him, what are the next three words? Tell me. Did you hear that before? Yeah, you heard it before. Now to him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in you and me. Now, Paul begins praising God for so many things. He goes through this, and I don't have time this morning, obviously, to do chapters 1 and 2, but he goes through all of that, and he talks about the blessings of God. Now, one of the big blessings of God for Paul was God enabled that church in Ephesus that was filled with Gentiles and Jews, and it was a Christian church. Now, as you know, there's only two groups of people in the world. There's hundreds of different people, groups, but there's only two basic categories of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. That's it. And Jews and Gentiles hated each other for centuries. They didn't like each other. They didn't want to be around each other. They could care less. And what God did, and Paul was part of that passage of Scripture, where God took Jews and Gentiles who hated each other, brought them together, and out of that, he did what was impossible. He made one church, one body, one group of people. Sometimes we see that in our world, all the different nationalities that come. You know, and many times I've been all over different parts of the world and preached in different places, and you don't know the people, but they're Christians. Well, you know what? There's only one body of Christ, real one body of Christ. Lots of different denominations and all that. I'm not talking about the cults and all that, but that's what Paul writes. He says, I'm writing this verse. I can't imagine that the church that I was pastor of, there's Jews and Gentiles, and like they don't sit on that side and that side, they're all together, and they're just worshiping God. You see, that is impossible without God. That's impossible without God. And Paul knew that, so he wrote about it. So what he's trying to say is, in your life, in my life, sometimes we do this. We put God in a little box. This is about all I think God can do. I want to say to you this morning, forget the box. God is bigger than the box you've put him in. Our ability to think above what we can even imagine is what God wants to do. I'm not talking about weird stuff. I'm talking about biblical stuff. And sometimes we limit that ability because we shrink God to our side. There's a great book called Your God is Too Small. Your God is Too Small. Now, I have on the overhead that same verse in New Living Translation. Take a look at it. I'll get out of the way for you. Now, all glory to God. Notice who the glory goes to. Who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. The proof of that verse, that that's the kind of God we serve, starts in the book of Genesis, goes all the way to the book of Revelation. God is not limited. He's unlimited in anything he wants to do. Look at this verse, the next verse from Jeremiah. O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Let's read it together. Come on. Nothing. How much? Nothing. Nothing. Begin to think in this service what you've limited God to do. Physical, mental, spiritual, healing, economic, marriage, You begin to think about that. Impossible. It won't happen. I know God can do it, but really God can't do it. He can't do it. Just begin thinking right now. Because this sermon is for me, it's for you, individually. It's not about the Old Testament. It's not about the New Testament. It's about the God of today. So begin thinking about it. Here's the next one. Luke 1:37. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Basically, I want you to turn to your neighbor with a smile this morning. Can you do that? If you can't, don't turn to your neighbor. If you can turn with a smile, say this: God has no limits. Come on, turn to your neighbor. God has no limits. God has no limits. I read an interesting story. It's a true story. It was about a man's grandmother. My grandmother, when she was young, met a young animator. And they began a dating relationship. And the young man on multiplications was turned down when he asked this lady to marry him. She said to him, "I have feelings for you, but I don't see any future in your life as a young animator. There's no future there." The name of that young man, true story, was Walt Disney. You think he was any kind of a young animator that might have made a little bit of money in life? Have you ever heard of Mickey Mouse? Have you ever heard of Disney World? That is the man. Now, when you see that, what happened to that lady? Because she couldn't believe, she didn't see any hope in this young man, Mickey Mouse, all of that kind of stuff. She didn't see any of that. What did she experience? She had the tragedy of a missed opportunity. Why? Because she didn't believe. See, she could have had a whole lifetime journey with Walt Disney because she had feelings for him, but she underestimated what he could be. We do the same thing on our journey sometimes with God. The very same thing. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1:17. There is a spiritual application to this story. It may not sound initially like you can direct that from Walt Disney to God, but you can. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." These 11 words, the 11 words you see right there, just those 11 words, changed the people who took this command seriously. And they actually followed Jesus. It wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. Their journey became incredibly exciting, an adventure of following Jesus for 24/7. They didn't know it at the time. Initially, we're just talking about four disciples right here. It would expand to 12. But they had no idea, as they begin to follow Jesus, that what would happen. They'd find forgiveness. They'd find purpose. They'd find meaning. They'd find excitement. And they had no idea what that even looked like. But they took a step of faith, and they just obeyed Jesus. Here's what I want you to write this morning. We forget this quite often. Following Jesus, the life, is not just about the destination. Oh, it is about the destination. Anybody glad this morning as a Christ follower you're going to heaven? Anybody? Oh, three of you are going. This altar call today is going to be fantastic. How many, come on now, how many are glad you're going to, at the end of your journey, you're going to be in heaven? Anybody? Exactly. It's okay to raise your hand in church. It's okay. It's okay. Okay. Now, when you see that, sometimes when you look at that principle, it's the journey with God that we're on right now. And sometimes we miss that excitement. It's all about heaven. Just can't wait to get there. Get this life over. No, the journey's here. Listen to a man, great commentator, called Kent Hughes. Listen to what he says about the disciples. Let me just say something really quick. When the disciples, those four disciples, Jesus said, "Follow me," they didn't know that night where they would even stay. Night number one. They didn't know how long it would be. A week, a month, ended up being 3 years. They didn't know what was coming. They knew nothing. They just took a step of faith and they followed Jesus as he commanded. Kent Hughes says this: "Following Jesus meant an immensely expanded life. The horizon of these fishermen's lives was bound by the margins of Galilee. Once in a while, they went down to Jerusalem for a Jewish festival. But by and large, they knew little more than the deck of their boat, the currents of the lake, how to fix their nets, and a handful of people that lived in their little village in Galilee. Now, when they left to follow Jesus, their whole life, their whole world was changed. It would never be the same again. Now, we know later on that some of these 12 disciples went to India, went to Turkey, went to Rome. None of them ever had any idea that that's what would happen. Their life was expanded. Now, even more important than that, notice what he said that you're going to do. You are going to be fishers of men. There's three real priorities in our life as Christians: God, people, and how we use our time. Notice in there, has nothing to do with money. Has nothing to do with possessions. Nothing wrong with all those things. We need those things. But it's about God first, people, great commandment, great commission, and how we use our times, Ephesians 5:18. How we use our time. We want to use our time for things here that outlast us and go to heaven. Now, when you see this happening, here's the next thing I want you to write, kind of in your mind. Following Jesus will expand your life. Now see, imagine. Remember what we started with? God can do more than I can imagine. Just imagine today what God wants to do in your life. Now, our lives obviously are all the same in many ways. Getting married, raising children, pouring our life into them, watching them go and whatever. That's all part of life. That's wonderful. We're here to do those things. It comes from the chapter 1 in Genesis. But spiritually, in your life, in your neighborhood, as a mom, a business person, businessman, woman, whatever. All those things, really behind that, where God places you in the apartment complex, where he does. All of that is God behind the scenes working things about people and where they'll spend eternity. Now, when you see all that happening, think about this. The world has us deceived because it limits what we can think, because we look around and go, can't do that. I'll get to that in a moment. But you know what? If you talk to most unbelievers, what will they say? Come to the church. Come join Jesus Christ. They're going to say this. No, that's kind of a restricted life. There's no fun. There's no joy. It's boring day after day after day, the same old thing. Why would I want to do that? I'd like to do what I want to do. Well, they're wrong. You know the verse by heart. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. What did Jesus come? To give us life. How much life? Overflowing life. Abundant life. Not about necessarily things, but he wants to bless us. He wants his favor to be on us, more than we can even imagine. Now, what if some of the disciples would have said on that day, Jesus pulls them around, gets two, and then he gets another two. What if they would have said this? Well, Jesus, thank you for the offer. It's a very nice offer from you. We've heard about you. We're kind of excited. But to be honest, I don't think following you will enhance my future. Hello, the lady that was going to marry Walt Disney. I don't think I have a future with you. I'm not going to marry you. A great missed opportunity. You see, if we don't follow Jesus as he wants us to follow, or we just kind of don't have any faith, missed opportunity. We have no clue what God really wants to do in our lives. Now, here's the principle. But we know that they did obey, and they began their journey with God, which led to a life, a journey of unlimited opportunities. Here's the next thing I want you to write. Take a look on the overhead. God's unlimited abilities transfer to our unlimited opportunities. See, these unlimited abilities aren't about me. It's how God wants to use me and work through me to reach the lives of people. It's never about us. It's never about us. Now, when you see that, we have to ask ourselves, myself included, why do we sometimes limit God's unlimited abilities? Who are we to do that? Well, I'm going to give you three things this morning. First one I want you to write it down is this. The reason we limit God, even in our thinking, is we forget that it's not about our ability, but God's ability. He's able to do more than I can ask or think. It's not me. I don't have that ability. Now, when you look at your own ability, sometimes we've all said this. When God's kind of stretching us, remember what I said, if we follow Christ, it will expand our life. That's including stretching our life. Like, really? I'm going to step out and do that? Speak to my neighbor, the person at work that hates me? Well, I'm going to talk to him about God if the door opens up? No, that's right. That's right. That's what God's going to do. Now, when you see that, sometimes I'll say to God, well, God, I can't do what you're asking me to do. I just can't do that. But notice who Jesus eventually chooses with God's help. 12 ordinary believers. There were no special people. They were just ordinary believers. And the Holy Spirit wrote this statement. Look on the over at 2 Peter. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need. Now watch this. Not just to come to church on a weekend. For living a godly life, a godly journey with God. I have everything I need because of his power, not mine. And Peter wrote this verse. Why? Peter was wrote this verse because God's anointing was on him. As you know, the Holy Spirit really the one that wrote it. But Peter put this in his epistle. And he knew and had experienced God's abilities. He watched him. He had watched Jesus do amazing things beyond anything they could even think. But then there was something else. How many times did Peter fail Jesus? We don't even want to count them. We don't even want, you know, if you were with, to me, Peter was like a guy that liked roller coasters. On the high, he was good. Boom, and boom. Every time I went down, he put his foot in his mouth. Anybody familiar with that here? Yeah, we all know what that looks like. Now, when you see that, he discovered not only unlimited abilities, he experienced unlimited grace. Anybody glad today that when I go to ask forgiveness, God said, no, your limit is up for your life. I will not forgive you anymore. What? Where would we be then? Back in our sins. Unlimited love. Unlimited grace, unlimited abilities of God. Peter experienced that through his life. Now, you remember, one day Peter, in the upper room with 120, and they all got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. And then God just began to move them. And if you go to Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, you remember the story. And Peter and John went to the temple to pray one day, and there was a man there who had been lame, begging all his life, and as always, I'm sure they'd seen him hundreds of times going to the temple when they were down there. And this day, instead of giving him a coin, which the man wanted, Peter just said this. See, his mindset had changed. Jesus wasn't with him, but the Holy Spirit was in him. And he said this. I don't have any money, but what I have, I'll give to you. What did he have? The power of God. A moment of maybe the gift of faith, the gift of healing. He touched the man, and the man was instantly healed. Well, what happened when that took place? Well, the people went crazy, going to kind of bow down to Peter and John. Peter, no. Guys, if you think I'm the one that did that, you got the wrong guy. This is Jesus. He taught us how to do this, how to use the power of God to touch people's lives, to do things that are impossible with man. That man walked. By the way, that man didn't just walk. Sometimes I have to wake up our people at home as well. You know, when God is doing good things, let me ask you this morning. Do you think it was appropriate at that day when God healed that man who had never walked, how would you act if you had never walked and God healed you before they leave? How would you act when you left the service? How would you act? Well, Pastor Guy, it was wonderful this morning. It was so good. Would you raise your hand? Oh, okay, praise God for me. What did this man do that had knew nothing about God? What did he do? Do you remember what he did? Come on, what did he do? He went running and jumping.
That's Mark, you're in church.
Praise God. You see, sometimes there's no emotion in our lives. When God does something impossible, I would hope you're excited. Especially if it's you.
I know you reply, child, I'll never have me back again.
I'm not trying to be weird. I'm trying to say, we put God in this little box. I can't praise him. You can see my hand go up there. I'm not going to be like those weird people that go on the floor. I'm not even. But I can have emotions of thankfulness that go beyond. Well, God healed me today. You would never do that. If that was your child, would you do it? You'd jump up and down for your child that was just healed. About 2 months ago, I was sick for 2 years with an esophagus thing. And one day, I had no idea why, thousands of people were praying for me, God just supernaturally healed me. I turned my mic off. He supernaturally healed me. I can eat regular, I can drink regular, I'm putting weight back on. That's God. Now, do you think, thank you, God. Thank you so much. Basically, almost every morning, I get up and I say this. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thanks for touching my life. Am I getting through to you this morning? God wants to do more in your life than you can ever imagine. Don't be ashamed of praising God. Don't be ashamed of praising God. Now, Peter, then eventually, of course, he has to stand before the religious leaders. And they give him the same thing. What power did you do this? Well, it wasn't my power. He said, it was the power of God. Jesus Christ, who was absolutely crucified, but resurrected. You crucified him. Now, that's pretty bold. Next statement you want to write. Here is where the excuses go out the window. God has promised everything we need to accomplish his will. Everything. Everything. I can't accomplish what God's going to ask you to do. You can't accomplish what God's going to ask me to do. It's not about mine's better than yours. Forget all that. We're all just regular people. We're just ordinary people. Who does God have to work with this morning? Nothing but ordinary people. That's you and that's me. We're just ordinary people. We have an amazing God and the rest of us are ordinary. Would you just turn to your neighbor and say, you're ordinary just like me. Go ahead and just tell them that right now. Come on. You're ordinary just like me. Some of you have been wanting to say that for a long time. All right. Now look at this verse. What does this verse do? Just beside that verse, write these things. No fears. No excuses. No lack. No fears. No excuses. No lack. That's what that passage of scripture is all about. Now, so the first thing is we forget that it's not about my ability, it's God's ability. Here's the second one you want to write. We lack the faith to believe God's word, his promises. We have fear. We walk in fear rather than walking in faith. Now, when you see that, look on the overhead. And I want you to tell me, when you see this, what you see. Next PowerPoint, if you will, guys. I want you to answer this question in a moment. Is A the way you live? Or is B the way you live? Is there a difference between these two, A and B? Take a look. A, is God able? What? Question mark. Second, B, God is able, exclamation point. Don't raise your hand. Ask yourself, the majority of the time, A or B? Don't answer me. You can write it down this morning if you like. I'm an A person or I'm a B person. Now, if you want to just cover it up so your neighbor can't see what you write, because we're all ordinary. How many would say this morning, in an honesty, well, sometimes, Pastor Mark, I'm an A, and sometimes, Pastor Mark, I'm a B. Could I see your hand? Okay, we got 17 truthful people. The rest of you are all liars. There's nobody here that's always an A person. And if you're a Christian, you certainly couldn't always be a B person, huh? Both ways, both ways, A and B. We're both A and B. That's what happens in our life. Now, when you see that, that says something. When I'm down and I'm struggling, when I was sick, kind of A, just like you are this morning. We'll get to those needs later. God is able is where we go. That's where God wants us. Now, here's the second thing you want to write. You know this by heart. Fear and doubt say God is able. Even as I begin speaking this morning, some of you are thinking about something, school, education, what's the future for me in there? And basically, there's fear and doubt. Well, it's a nice sermon. Pastor Mark's cool, whatever. He's shrinking. That's because I'm getting older. And he's still short. That will never change. In heaven, 7-Eleven, but I'll never get there till I get to heaven. Fear and doubt say God is able. But faith says God is able. Not is God able, but God is able. Now, where does faith come? Where does faith come from? Well, I'm born with faith. No, I'm not. Faith comes from what? Came from hearing. And what are you hearing this morning? Well, Pastor Mark, you don't have a Bible. Oh, this is filled with the Bible. These are verses from the Bible. By the way, all my sermons for 25 years are on this iPad. All filled with the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. Faith comes by hearing, and that's why John, every week, teaches you here in the Bible study on Wednesdays. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what we do. Faith. You know, I love the old Living Bible. Don't use it anymore, but listen to the definition of faith. Faith, it is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It's the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can't see it ahead. Here's what the definition I use for faith. Faith is the complete confidence that God will do what he said he would do. He says to me, I'll do more than you can think, imagine, dream. I can do it. So I shouldn't doubt that. I don't know what that means, but there's things in my life I want. Healing was one. There's lots of other. I can tell you this morning, I don't understand healing. There's some people, I've prayed for people, they've gotten healed. I prayed for other people, they didn't get healed. I've been sick. I've had surgeries. I've had all kinds of stuff. We don't understand it. But I want to say to you this morning, God still heals. And if you don't believe that, you're living under what God wants. Now, we're not weird with that, but God heals. And there's all kinds of things that work through that. Now, when you see that, let me read to you again. Now, all glory to God who is able. Say those three words. God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So, that's the verse that should give you faith this morning, a confidence that what God calls you to, you can do. Now, here's the next thing I want you to see. That's not the only place where we see this. Look at Romans 16:25. Now, all glory to Mark Ballmer. John Tan, right? No. Yeah, he's waving his hand. He'll be at the altar call. Now, all glory to God who is able to make you what? Strong. You can take that any way you want. Strong in faith, I'll take that one. Strong in faith rather than weak in faith. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. Say it with me. And, come on, God is to bless you abundantly so that in... No, I think it really reads in 42% of the things. No, in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Well, Pastor Mark, I didn't know I'm supposed to do work for God. Hello, Ephesians 2:10. Before you were created, God created good works for you and I to do. That includes the things in our home, with our family, work, whatever, witness, salt, light, whatever he calls us to. I'm able in all things. Why? Because God's able. I'm only able because God's able. Now, number three, we forget the miracles God has done in our past. We forget the miracles that God has done in our past. Now, when you think about that, that is such a huge thing for us. Think back over your lifetime right now. From the young to the old. Think back in your lifetime right now. Three little words I want to have you write down here. You have history with God. If you're a Christ follower, you have history with God. Now, that history includes the ups and downs of life, includes his love, includes his grace, includes troubles, trials, persecution, stuff that comes that we don't really understand. But I have history with God. And sometimes when we're doing this, we forget how much God has done for us. You remember the story of Moses very well. Moses, I don't know how much of it he remembered, but somehow God brought it to him. He was a young boy, baby, and the Pharaoh was killing all the boys. Mom and Dad put him in that little basket. Pharaoh's daughter found him. And supernaturally, you would never put this in the story because it's too good to be true. His mother gets to take care of him himself for the first 2 years. You would never believe that. I mean, Pharaoh, how many women could take care of that baby? But mom gets to take care of the baby. And of course, not only feed him on the breast to start, but do what? Talk to him about God at that young age. Talk to him about God at that young age. I use that as an experience, as you have here in this country, just like everywhere else. Couples that get divorced, and they have one of the parents is an unbeliever, and the kids go to the other parent every other weekend. And the Christian parent is worried about, my spouse doesn't believe in God, and they allow him to do whatever. Can God keep my kid if he doesn't go to church every other week, but he goes here? Look, if God can keep Moses for 40 years in a pagan nation, he can keep your kid every other weekend because he's going to be back in your house, in your love, and in the church of God. Amen? So here's Moses. And you remember at the end of 40 years, he makes a mistake. He gets himself ahead of God. And he decides to free the people that have been in bondage for almost 400 years. Well, he's wrong. And he has to run for his life. And he runs. And God blesses him, even in spite of that failure, and he gets married and has kids. And after 40 years, he learned to take care of sheep for 40 years. Now, that made no sense to him. Have you ever looked back on your life and go, why did God have that in my life? I learned this myself. God never wastes anything in our lives. You know, I was a pharmacy director at a hospital for 25 years. I handled millions of dollars of money. I had doctors, committees. I had like 25 employees. I was a crazy idiot when they made me a director of pharmacy. I was like 25 years old. I didn't know nothing. But God blessed me. And I used that. And all those years, I learned how to handle with people, deal with people in life and death. I work in the ER sometimes with people, deliver babies, you name it. I did it. And then God called me to the ministry at 48. And I'm thinking, was I that bad? You had to wait till 48? I wasn't ready. I'd been in service all my life. I'd been a teacher all my life. I'd been an elder most of my life as an adult. But you know, when I started the church, there was nobody. I was it. I was the account guy. I was a visiting guy. I was the counseling guy. I was the preaching guy. And where did I learn all that? 25 years in hospital pharmacy. Now, today, I have people over all those departments because I'm an idiot and that kind of stuff today, not with that many people and all that kind of stuff. But see, God never wastes anything in your life. He didn't waste Moses' mistake. Those sheep were equal to people. And sheep, I'll say it gently because we're all sheep, sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. Shepherds know that. Sheep are dumb. Were the children of Israel spiritually dumb? Very often. And Moses got frustrated with them. See, that we deal with people. We're dumb. I'm a sheep. You're a sheep. But then God used him. And remember when he called him? He called him when he came out one day and saw what kind of a bush? Come on. You were in Sunday school. A burning bush. A burning bush that wasn't plastic. It just never burned out. And here's God. And what does God say to him? I was with you before, you just didn't know it. You made the decision to leave and follow the children of Israel. That's a good decision. But you made a mistake. You got ahead of me. And so there's a burning bush. What's the next thing? What's the next thing Moses said? God said to Moses, take off your what? Shoes. Because you're on holy ground. You're on holy ground. Now the reason, really, there's lots of reasons that I have fun with this one. You take off your shoes. Now, if you're in the desert and you're in your bare feet, what's it like? Burning your feet. You know what I think God was saying? Now, you got ahead of me the first time. You ain't going nowhere now, boy. I ask you to take your shoes off. Okay, what do you want from me? And he says, I'm going to use you, a failure. Do you know this morning that failure is not final? With God, failure is never final. Otherwise, we're all gone from here. We're gone. So he says, I'm going to use you to free all the children of Israel. And what did Moses say? Finally, you know who I am. No, Moses said that you got the wrong guy. And they go back and forth, back and forth. What you're asking me to do is impossible. And basically, God will say as the way through the story, you know the end of the story. Yep, Moses with you, you got it right. With me, you can do anything. Without me, you can't do nothing. You've already proven it. You and I in this room have history with God. Don't put them in your box. Don't start making excuses. God, that's impossible. Don't do it. I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly all that God asks me to do. Not what I'm trying to ask God to use me for, whatever he wants me to do. That's a huge difference in our life. We forget the history that we have with God. Let me read you Psalm 7:8 to show you about the people. This is the children of Israel. They did not remember his power, how he rescued them from their enemies. They did not remember his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders on the plain of Zoan. You see, the Jewish people, think what happened to them. God freed them with all the plagues. He supernaturally freed them. They forgot about it. They go through the Red Sea. It's divided. Impossible to do. They walk right through it. And as soon as they get to the other side, they start putting God in a box again. Where's the water? There's no water over here. We'd rather go back to Egypt. It was free there. Oh, really? 400 years of being beaten? Really? If I was there and I got, I'd say this. You have history with me. Have I ever failed you? Can I ask you this morning, if you're a Christian, has God ever failed you? No. I failed God many times. By the way, God's put me some things that I didn't like. Same for you. But did he do that because he hated me or because he loved me? See, faith has to be exercised. And the only way you have to get muscles is to exercise. Wouldn't it be nice? God make these apps just about there. Thank you. Amen. How many know that will not work? What do I have to do? Exercise. Steps of faith is spiritual exercise. When I step out and there's water and it's not separated yet, that's called a step of faith. I'm hoping, I'm praying, it's confident, but I don't see it yet. And we all have to do that. That's the way. But God didn't fail you when he gave you that trial. He was exercising your faith to trust him for anything in your life. Now, the children of Israel, we make fun of them all the time. I'm sure John makes fun of them. How stupid can you be, you people? Worshipping pagan gods, worshipping an idol like this, bowing down to this, when you had the true God. I'd like to say to you this morning, we're not like the children of Israel. But I'm afraid we're all like the children of Israel. We have the same humanity. We have that old sin nature in it that just kills faith. Now, think about this. When you begin to see that you have history with God, I'll cut a couple things this morning because I want to finish with a different statement. Watch this. On the overhead, we're going to read this together. I'll get out of the way so I hopefully won't block anybody. But I want us to read it together out loud. All of us together. Here we go. God is able to do. God is able to do what we ask. God is able to do what we think. All right, we'll go to the next one. God is able to do above. When you see it in the yellow, put a little zip in it. God, let's do it again. God is able to do above what we can ask or think. God is able to do abundantly above what we can ask or think. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly what we can ask or think. What do you think about that? Do you believe that? Do you actually, is that scriptural? Is what I put on the, is that biblical? It's 100% biblical. We read it. Now look at, when you see all of that, here's where I want you to go. Let me read it to you. I'm going to put it on the overhead again. Ephesians 20. This proves how much it is. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power, at work, where? Within me. Now the battle is always in the mind. Satan will say to you, when we go through this in a few moments, he'll say, yeah, nice verse, doesn't apply to you today. That was Old Testament. You're not a disciple. It won't work for you. No, what did we learn earlier? We're all ordinary people, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit because we have a supernatural God. I'm not ordinary. Without him, I'm useless. With him, I can do anything he asks me to do. But it's always going to be this, all glory to God. That's where our problem comes. That's where our problem goes. See, when God begins to use us, and we just supernatural things happen, the great danger that comes to us is pride. It was about me. It was the way I taught this morning. It's nothing about you other than a submitting to what God says to do. It's all about God. All glory to God. Not 20% to Mark and 80% to God. All glory to God. All glory to God. Now, that means he's able to do in us and through us anything in our lives. Now, I'm going to just say some things, and you can write them down if you'd like. But I'm going to mention five things, and then I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to finish the chapter. I'm not done yet. Here it is. God is able to do anything in our lives through us. Whatever you need to accomplish God's will, God is able. Now, in our lives, we're all filled with needs because we're humans. So I'm going to, but first thing I'm going to do this morning, if you need wisdom, you've got it. And I'm going to pray for that wisdom in the morning. If you need wisdom, decisions of life, God is the only one that's all wise. We're not all wise. If you need wisdom, you've got it. If you need direction, you're making decisions. Remember, the Holy Spirit was given to us. Romans 8. The Holy Spirit is given to us because He leads us. He leads. We follow. The Holy Spirit is the leader. He knows where to take us. He's God. Number three, do you need stamina? Physically, emotionally, spiritually. You feel weak. You're afraid you can't stand. In a nation that's no different than our nation, other than more different religions here than in the States, but it's pretty much the same anymore. America now is a secular nation. It's not a religious nation at all. Plenty of great churches, whatever, plenty of great Christians, but it's a secular nation, just like your nation is. Stamina. See, I have to stand sometimes for what I believe. Not into people's face, but I stand. Next, some of you need hope this morning. You got it. The hope of the world is Jesus. The hope of the world is Jesus. Do you know in chapter 1 in Ephesians, Paul said this, you have an inheritance. The word hope in the United States, in our world, the word hope means like, well, I hope my football team, my soccer team wins this weekend. That's not the biblical word. The biblical word for hope means guaranteed, gonna happen. And here's what Paul says. When you become a Christian, you have guaranteed the hope of an inheritance. What is my inheritance as a Christian? Heaven. I'm not hoping I can get to heaven. It's going to happen. Not because of me. That's one of the blessings of God. See, but maybe you need hope this morning. Physical, emotional, sickness, whatever kind of things. And what does the enemy go? No hope for you. Not going to happen. Won't happen. God can't do this. I'm way ahead of God. I brought this on you. I allowed this on you. God can't do it. I'm wrong. No, you're wrong. Don't think that way. I can do anything through God. And He'll do anything in your life. The last one this morning is big one. Do you need the power to forgive? Do you need the power to forgive? You've got it. You know, I've been a Christian since 1948. I've been a Christian a lot of years. This year, 70 years. I'm still learning. I'm still working. I'm still trying to grow. I'm far from perfect, just like you. See, a lot of people think, well, when you're a certain age, you're mature spiritually. Mm-mm. Sometimes exactly the opposite. You remember what the children of Israel used to be? Saved, satisfied, and stuck. They just went to church every week. Saved, satisfied. Because they can never imagine what God wanted to do for their life. I think we're all going to be amazed at what God wanted to do, and we're afraid to step out. We made excuses. If you have a person that's hurt you, I don't care what the reason is, and you are the one that's unforgiving, the person that's in jail, it's not them, it's you. See, it's like taking a glass of poison and wincing. He offended me. He made me angry at him. So I won't forgive him. He could have done something that wasn't right or I misunderstood. See, when you forgive a person, it doesn't mean you forgive them because what they did was right to you. Never. What they did to Jesus on the cross, was it right? No. But what did he say? Father, forgive them. Didn't mean he agreed with what they did. They were wrong. Well, Pastor Mark, that was Jesus. I can't do that. Whoa. With him, I can do all things. The book of Ephesians says, forgive everyone that needs to be forgiven. Doesn't agree. You know, a lady gets raped. All these kind of things happen. Whatever. Oh, I'm not going to forgive that person. What they did, no, absolutely was wrong. Get them in jail. But I have to release it. See, it's like me going, I'm holding unforgiveness against Winston. So I have some poison here. And I'm expecting him to die. Who's dying? I'm dying. See, when I forgive somebody with God's help, I can't do it without God's help because I'm just like you. When I forgive them, I'm the one that's set free. Doesn't mean the hurt isn't still there. It's hurtful to be hurt. You can't live without hurt. No Christian can live without hurt. We hurt each other. But you can be free. I'm going to mention these things. Just bow your head for a second, and I'm going to finish this chapter. I'm going to read these things to you. And I want you this morning to say this with me. What's the three words we talked about today? God is able. Let me read them to you. Just bow your head. God, for those people here this morning, they need wisdom. You're able. You're able. People here this morning that need direction. You're able. God is able. People here this morning that need stamina. They've been afraid to stand for what Jesus Christ has done in their life. They're afraid to open their mouth to witness. When you open a door and they know it, not a pushy thing, but waiting for doors to open, God, you're able. Lord, everyone in this room always needs hope. Satan has stole it from us. Our hope is Jesus, the hope of the world. God, you're able to restore hope in their life this morning. The power to forgive in family relationships, work relationships, neighborhood relationships, wherever there's people, there's bitterness, there's angry, there's unforgiveness. But our God is a forgiving God. You're able. I don't know what it takes in all of those lives to do that, but I just pray this morning that you would put in their heart the verse that Paul wrote. If a God can join Jews and Gentiles who hated each other for centuries in one church with one God, one Savior, one salvation, one Holy Spirit, one Word of God, one faith, He can do anything in our life. And I just pray this morning for those who have heard your word today. You've spoken to us. Have nothing to do with me. I'm just a person that speaks the truth from God's word. Holy Spirit, find good soil in the heart of your people today so they can step out in faith and defeat these things. Maybe some of them confused about where to go or what to do. And Lord, you've gifted everyone. May they just be those kind of people. Say, God, I want to have my life expanded just like the disciples. A life that we can't even imagine because we've taken our faith and taken a step toward you. Not the other direction, toward you. That's why we call ourselves Christ's followers. Bring these things to an end, we pray, and we'd be excited about it. I want you to look at the last two verses. Open your eyes. By the way, let me remind you, when God answers that prayer for you, let's not any of us take credit for it. All glory, come on, to God. How much glory? All glory to God. Look how Paul ends it. Look in verse 31. I'll read it out of the New Living Translation. 21, sorry. Ephesians 3:21. Now glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. So did that verse that he can do anything, was that just for Paul's day? No, it's for every generation. Why? Because God never changes. Can you imagine? We read the Bible. This verse, God is able to do anything, anything, anything. God, really? But that expired in 2017. What hope do I have now? No, it's the same God forever and ever and ever. Now, when you think about that, John, go back to that one verse I want to show on the overhead. Sometimes we think we're never going to make it to the end. Look what Jude says to us. Look at Jude. Go back to Jude. There it is. To him, say it with me. Come on now. Who is able to do what? To keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence. Here's the big part. Get ready. I want an amen. From every one of you, don't just, I ain't gonna say amen in church. I want an amen from you. Here we go. Who is present you before his glorious presence, here we go, without fault and with great joy. Come on.
Amen.
Now say it like you mean it. Okay, I said it, Pastor Mark, amen. Come on. To present us, can you believe this? Without fault and with great joy. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Who is able to do that? Only God. Don't worry about your end. It's secured. It's coming. Without fault. And with great joy. Why? Because God is able. God is able. Now look at this last verse again. To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus through all generations. Here's the next thing you can write. Glory to God. What does that mean? It means acknowledging his greatness, not ours. Glory to God. And his unlimited ability in any area of your life this morning. Second, glory to God in the church. Why would Paul write that? Because again, he sees people in this church, Jews over on this side, Gentiles here, would hate each other, wouldn't get along. You know, you guys are going to have coffee and stuff afterwards. They would move over to their own group. What happened in the church? They all intermingled because they're all one because one Savior died for them. See, this is a picture of unity in the church. One of the greatest things Satan does in a church, he brings disunity. And churches split, people leave, they get angry, they do whatever because, you know, there's only a few perfect pastors. And I'm one and John's one. The rest of the people, yeah, right. And so you have to understand that Satan loves to divide, but God loves to unite. So there's the church again. Now, look at this, through all generations. Some of us have relatives, friends, sons, daughters, grandchildren. This promise. Well, Pastor Mark, I don't think they'll ever come back to God. I don't think they're not interested at all. It'll never happen. No, there's nothing impossible with God. Don't give up praying for your unsaved friends, loved ones, parents, children, grandchildren. Don't give up. Nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Now, I can't make the decision for them, but I can sure pray for them. I can sure continue to raise them up to God. For how many generations? Till the end. Till the end. That's our hope. That's our hope. Now, here's two things I want you to write down, then we're done. Number one, make room in your thinking for God. Quit limit what you think. Make room in your thinking for God. And why can I say that? Because of the verse that we use today. Second, God is able to do fresh and bigger things in and through us for his glory. Every single person I'm talking to, God wants to use. God is able. When you look at your future, don't forget you have a past with a God. That God back then that pulled me out of crazy pharmacy, which I loved, and put me in the ministry. When I quit, I had no idea what was going to happen. It isn't about numbers. It isn't about a big church, small church. People used to say to me, well, I knew you left your job because you knew God was going to build a big church. Are you crazy? I didn't even know if I could last. But it isn't about that. But I just want to say to you, why can I do that? Because I have history with God. It's not about me. The same God that took me and uses me in this way is no different than the same God who you look at your past. How in the world did you become a believer this morning? Now, there could be one or two of you in here, and you've never turned your life over to Christ. Or you've been a very religious person, but you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. I'll be up here at the end. Just come talk to me. I'd love to lead you. See, knowing about God is very different than knowing God. Very different. And if you don't have that personal relationship, That's the way life works. It's not because you came here. I'm glad you're in church. I'm glad you come every week or whatever. Read your Bible. Have a devotion. I believe in God. That's great. Satan believes in God. You have to have a personal relationship. That's why Jesus didn't say, come and join Calvary Chapel. He said, come and follow me. It's personal. Father, thanks for your word. It never returns void, not because of the speaker, but because the power of the word of God. You're able. I pray that these three words from the scripture will burn into our hearts. God is able. And I pray the next time we come back, we'll see people grown, stretched, expanded in their ministries, in their homes, in their marriages. Younger people deciding to wait to find that godly spouse, that person. People that have just been on the fence, just getting all in and allowing God. Bring hope. Bring that wisdom. Bring that direction. Bring that stamina that they need into their life. Thank you that nothing is impossible with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.